were listening to sermons from Bethesda Lutheran Church. This Sunday was the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, and Pastor Sarah preached from Ecclesiastes chapter 2.
So, I have heard of families who wander around their parents' house decades before it's even necessary, placing these little pieces of paper with their names on them, written on them, underneath lamps and couches and inside boxes and baskets, sometimes even asking their mother to please get out of the chair because I would like that after you're gone. Has anyone ever done? Okay. No one's going to admit it, right? Because I made it into a joke. My brother, sisters, and I haven't gone that far yet, but we have talked about some of my parents' most prized possessions. And I have been told, matter-of-factly, that I am not getting any of them. None of them. At least not the ones worth any actual money. Yeah, doesn't you feel sorry for me? Don't you feel sorry for me? Because with my holier-than-thou attitude, I tend to be a little holier-than-thou, in case you don't know me very well yet, I've decided there's actually no point in having thousands of dollars wrapped up in art and antiques and Dickens villages, for crying out loud, when I could have thousands of dollars in my pocket. Now, that definitely sounds a little crass when I say that out loud, and I'm so glad that my mom and dad are not here today. And just so you know, I'm not completely heartless. I have asked for some family pictures and a piece of really ugly furniture that has been passed down from my grandmother. So I do want things, I just don't want things worth it. Well, no, I do want the other things, I just won't get the other things worth any money. So I don't mean to disrespect my parents, or anyone else's parents, or you for that matter. So please do not send me a letter about how evil that I am. But honestly, what's the point? What's the point? What's the point of spending money and time and energy seeking out that one-of-a-kind collectible or that rare treasure when in a few years it's going to be placed on the auction block in an estate sale? What's the point? What's the point if we simply spend our lives building bigger barns or building bigger houses or buying bigger cars? What's the point if all that we work so hard for will simply be squandered or sold by our children or be misinterpreted by those who come after? What's the point if all of our stuff overflows our house so much that we pay other people to keep it in a big room the size of a garage? What's the point? And even this past week, I've started wondering if saving for retirement, we're building bigger barns. If by having stock options worth thousands for those some days, years down the road when today people are starving, if that is what Jesus is calling us to do, maybe we should be investing those resources in people now instead of the future later. Now, this is a new thought and a not very thought out thought, and one that Steve will not actually let me follow. So don't tell him because he's not here, but it makes you think, does it not? Because again, what is the point of spending all of my time and all of my resources and all of my money on something that will someday be thrown away or will be given away and maybe even for a someday that never even comes? What's the point of living if all that society says is important, money and power and security and more, really leaves us with nothing? What's the point of living if all we work for is rendered meaningless by the standards of God? Okay, so is anyone feeling guilty yet? How about we move to some good news and jump straight to Jesus? Maybe the point is we live and work and participate in life simply because Christ has given us the gift of life. In the person of Jesus, we not only have the example of how to live, but we have a Savior who shows us the way is life. That death and bondage and being held captive to money and greed and power has been overcome. And Christ frees us from our bigger houses and from worrying about retirement and from collecting the most perfect of antiques. He frees us to live our lives with joy. He frees us to live our lives with contentment, content with what we have today. And then he frees us to live in service to God and to those around us. The point is that our lives are full of meaning because, cliche or not, each and every day, actually each and every moment, is a blessing given to us by God. A blessing where we recognize and live with the gifts we've been given, and we respond by giving out of our abundance. Our lives are full of meaning simply because Christ is and gives them meaning. So what we do is no longer meaningless. How we live is no longer destined for storage units and estate sales, because God is at work in every moment in all those times of our lives. And God's presence makes all our encounters holy, makes the conversations in the lunch line at school or work a time of connection with children of God. Makes the time we spend on the computer. Who spends time on the computer? Okay, a few of you are listening to me. Last service, I had two people raise their hand. They had all fallen asleep by now, so at least five of you are working with me. That when you're on the computer and you email someone or you see a status update or a tweet, you just shoot up a prayer for them, right? Dorky off script. Okay, God's presence in our lives makes even time driving in the car a time where we can see the wonders of creation and marvel at human ingenuity and creativity. And knowing that God is in our lives at all times, making them meaningful and holy, we can respond in ways that acknowledge Christ has made us free. We begin to respond in service with our whole lives and with our whole heart and with our prayers and how we spend our time and our talents and our resources. And we begin to question, faithfully question, some of our decisions and some of our barn building, simply because we recognize how blessed we are and we look for ways to share that blessing with others. So, now here's where the first service, you guys are lucky you get the second. Here's where the first service people started to squirm in their seats. Ready? You ready? Thank you. So maybe while shopping, we can ask, is this what I need or is this what I want? Will this purchase show that following God and being claimed by God is who I am? And as I say that, that pair of shoes in my shopping cart at Anthropologie has to go back, although they're so cute. But I don't need them. We can give away the clothes that we don't wear anymore or that don't fit anymore, and we don't have to wait to grow back into them. We can give away those dishes that have been sitting in the closet waiting for that special occasion and give them to someone who actually has no dishes. We can clean out those storage units of the boxes you promised someday you're going to go through, but you're not, and your children don't want to go through them. Clear it out. And maybe even some cash in an IRA or two. We can look at our monthly expenses, where our money goes, and see if those are truly where we want our priorities to be. For me, I have to give up McDonald's. I know, we all laugh, right? Think about these things. Do I want to support McDonald's as my, okay, God. See, I said to Tom, I go off script, and he goes, well, you're preaching to yourself, and I am. Like, the guilt is overwhelming me, okay? We spend money on things, right, that you're all not looking at me anymore because I'm hitting a nerve. I like it. There are actual concrete things that God has blessed us with. And there are actual concrete ways that we can respond to God. Saving all of our stuff, worrying about tomorrow is not one of them. Giving of what we've been given, blessing others through our blessings, loving others because we've first been loved is. So the world tells you to build bigger barns, to save for yourselves, to spend on yourselves, to make your own life better. God tells you those barns may not last the night. So put your heart someplace where it will never be destroyed. Put your heart in God, whose blessings flow through you, who gives meaning to all your days and all your times, and who gives grace-filled love to your entire life.